Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's John with today's message.
Genesis chapter 5. Today we'll be looking at a man named Hanok. That's in Hebrew. His name is Hanok. In West Texan, his name is Enoch. So I think we'll just go with Enoch for the rest of the day, all right? Enoch, his name means to narrow, which I think is very interesting, right? Jesus said, enter in through the narrow gate, to narrow, to initiate, dedicate, train up. And certainly there are some clues right there in how to walk with God. But Enoch himself takes up very little space on the pages of Scripture. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at three out of the four references in the Bible to Enoch. One of the references is a genealogy in the book of Luke. Enoch is actually in the genealogy of Jesus, which is certainly significant and definitely raises his status, but we don't have time to spend any time there today. So we're going to look at three out of the four mentions of Enoch right here at the onset of the message, and we're going to draw some observations and applications and conclusions that will significantly help us walk with the Lord. The first one's here in Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, where the Bible says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch is one of only two people in Scripture who never tasted death. Anybody know who the other person is? Anybody know the other person who never even tasted death? Elijah. That's exactly right. Elijah's the only other one who didn't taste death. So now take a look at this. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another place where Enoch is mentioned. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 5, where the Bible says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So many of us might be familiar with Hebrews 11, 6, the sixth verse. But very few of us remember that that's actually written about Enoch. So even though all we know about him prior to this is that he walked with God, I mean, notice that Enoch is the second person mentioned in Hebrews 11, which we fondly call God's Hall of Fame of Faith. Notice that Enoch's walk with God and his subsequent translation into heaven is attributed to his faith. Not his works, not his deeds, not his behavior, not his accomplishments, not his achievements, not his performance, not his pedigree. Enoch was a man of faith. He had a spirit of faith. He believed God. He trusted God. For him, it wasn't just mere credence in a set of beliefs. It was total reliance on the person of God. Enoch, his life is the very definition of what it means to have Bible faith. Everything received through faith is given by grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned, and unearnable favor of God. Now notice the third and final reference. It's in Jude, way in the back of your Bible. Jude, which only has one chapter, verses 14 and 15 says this. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I want you to notice something. First observation today, notice it says Enoch the seventh from Adam. Say that with me. Enoch the seventh from Adam. I firmly believe that nothing in the Bible is there by accident. Nothing's just added in. Nothing's there that's superfluous in the scripture. He's the seventh from Adam. We could have just counted the generations and found out that he's the seventh generation from Adam. But God thought it was important enough to actually say it, to state it in the scripture, to bring our attention that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So Adam was Enoch's great, 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 great grandfather. Seven. Now, that's not accidental. That's not incidental. Seven. The number seven in your Bible is what? It's the number of perfection or completion. The seventh from Adam. You see, Enoch completed something that was incomplete in Adam. Enoch perfected something that was imperfect in Adam, and that, my friends, was walking with God. Adam used to walk with God, and then he couldn't anymore. He forfeited that unimaginable treasure. I like how the New Living Translation says it in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, where are you? Ready for an amazing fact? If you just do the math, you'll find out that Adam is still alive for the vast majority of Enoch's life. Adam passes when Enoch is just a little over 300 years young. How many of you know 300 years was young back in those days, right? You didn't get your AARP card till you were like 650 years old, right? But Adam, Enoch's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, grandpa was around. We don't know, but more than likely, great-great-great-great-great-grandma, Eve, was probably still around. And this is important because this is how Enoch knew the stories. You know, they were his Bible. The stories were passed down generation to generation to generation. And quite possibly told firsthand to Enoch by Adam. Imagine, Adam lived to 930 years old. So he was a spry 622 when Enoch was born. So maybe Adam would look at 75-year-old toddler Enoch and say, come on, sit up here on grandpa's lap. Hanuk. I was the first one. Yet the Lord God made me from the dust of the earth. And then he breathed into my nostrils the breath of lives, and my soul began to live. And I was put in the garden, and I was given authority and dominion and power. But I was still missing something. And so the Lord caused a great sleep to come upon me, and he took from my side, not from my head, not from my feet, but from my side. And he created woman. He created Eve. Oh, and what a woman she was. Hanuk. What a woman. She was perfect for me. And together we were in the garden, and we'd eat of the trees of the field and the vegetation, and we were given the ability to name things. And so whatever we named them, they were. We saw this great animal one day with this long neck, and we said, giraffe, and it was a giraffe. That wasn't the best part. Hanuk, when the cool evening breezes would blow, the Lord God would walk in the garden, and we'd walk with him and talk with him until we couldn't, because one day I should have been watching, I should have been guarding, I was given that commission to guard the garden because there was something to guard it from, because there was an intruder already there, a serpent. He was more cunning, he was more subtle than all the beasts. And he spoke to Eve, and said, has God really said that you shouldn't eat of the trees of the garden? And she responded, no, we can eat from all the trees, just not that one. And he said, really, you know what? God's holding out on you. He knows that if you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll know good and evil and you'll be like him. Hanuk, we were already like him. But we believed the lie. And so Eve ate. I was right there. She handed it to me. I ate. And yeah, our eyes were open. And now we didn't only see good. We saw evil. We saw that we were naked. And now all of a sudden we're ashamed. We sew fig leaves for ourselves. We hide off in the bushes when the cool evening breeze blows. And there were consequences. The Lord told me that from now on I'd have to work the ground in the sweat of my brow. Eve would bring forth children with pain. Then he spoke to the serpent too, and he said, you know what? You're going to be the creep of all creeps. You're going to creep on your belly all the days of your life. And there will come a day that the seed of a woman, Hanuk, a woman will bear a child without the seed of a man. The seed of the woman would come, and though you'll bruise his heel, he'll crush your head. A serpent crusher would come. Hanuk, never forfeit your ability to walk with God. Seeds were planted in Enoch. Seeds were planted, for instance, he understood that it was possible to walk with God. It was possible for a human being to walk with God. He knew, I can have that kind of companionship. I can have that kind of fellowship. I can have that kind of relationship, that kind of closeness. When the evening breeze blows, I can walk with the Lord. And so when Enoch's son is born, Methuselah, who winds up being the oldest man to ever live. Does anybody know how many years Methuselah lived? Anybody know? Who knows? Zeb, you got your hand? Zeb, you get the star on your paper today. I heard you say it. 900. Zeb, you win Bible trivia today. 969 years Methuselah lives. But when he's born to Enoch and his wife, the Bible says that that's when Enoch decides, okay, now's the time. And that always struck me, that that's the time that Enoch chose, okay, I'm going to start walking with God. Because some things never change. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have heard of people that when they have their first child, how many of you would agree with me that when you become a parent, everything changes, right? Everything. Everything changes. And people who have children, so many times they say, okay, now's the time I got to get back into church. Because now, you know, I'm bringing up my children now. I want to bring them up in a certain way. And so now and I wonder if we don't miss an opportunity then. You know, maybe we're missing opportunities at baby showers to talk to people. Or the newest thing, gender reveal parties. Maybe when a newborn's brought home from the hospital or starting to grow into a toddler or the first birthday. Or, you know, maybe is this not a natural opportunity, a door that opens for us to share with people that maybe it's time that they come back to church. Maybe it's time to walk with God again. So Enoch began walking with God when Methuselah was born, and he never stopped. It wasn't sporadic. He didn't just walk with God when things were going well. He didn't just walk with God when things weren't going well and he was having trouble and he needed something. No. He had continuous communion with God. Daily, steadfast, ongoing, consistent. And I don't think that it was necessarily a discipline for him. I believe it was a delight for him. It wasn't something he had to do. It's something he wanted to do. It's something he delighted in doing. It definitely wasn't according to law because there was no law back then. It was definitely according to grace. So his walk wasn't a religious duty. It was out of pure relationship. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And it wasn't as if he was some sort of monk in a monastery on the top of a hill somewhere, because he wasn't. He was a husband. He was a father in a very progressive and permissive world. We'll find out about that in just a few minutes. So despite all the possible distractions, kids pulling on his pant leg, pulling on his robe, you know, with all of the responsibilities of being a well-known patriarch, in all that, through all that, in spite of all that, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God daily, continuously dedicated, day in and day out. And then he just kept on walking all the way beyond space and time. He walked with God and was not. He walked right out of this world and into the next in a seamless transition. I think it's safe to say he's still walking with God right now. And the same is true for you and I. The same is true for us. In spite of all that pulls on your pant legs, and in spite of all your demands, and in spite of all the inevitable conflict of life, in spite of the stress and the responsibilities and the pressure and the scheduling and the overflowing inbox, listen, you can walk with God. You can have a committed, dedicated walk with God because of the Holy Spirit living in you. Listen to me. You not only have the desire to walk with God, but you now have the power to walk with God consistently. By consistently trusting Him by faith. That's how Enoch did it. You can walk with God by faith, by believing. Listen carefully. The same way you were saved is the exact same way you walk with Him. Colossians 2 and verse 6, take a look at it with me. As, just as, in the same way, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So how did you receive Christ Jesus? By grace through faith. You didn't get saved by grace and then walk and then do all the rest by works. That is the biggest fallacy and error in Christianity today. You don't get saved by grace and then it's all on you, because if it's all on you, good luck with that. I like the way my wife puts it. If grace can save you, grace can keep you. The blood of Jesus that saved you is the blood of Jesus that can keep you. How did you receive Jesus? By grace through faith. How do you walk with Jesus? By grace through faith. Listen, Enoch, if Enoch earned a walk with God by some sort of special ability or talent or spiritually heroic achievement, then we'd all have something to worry about. But he didn't. It was by faith, and therefore it was according to grace. And that means, ready? You can walk with God. You got to turn to somebody next to you and tell them right now, say, you can walk with God. Go ahead. That was so terrible that I want you to turn back to that person and I want you to tell them, say, even you. Go ahead and say, even you can walk with God. Even you. You can walk with God. God is no respecter of persons. God plays no, you know, personal favorites. As a matter of fact, can I just tell you this? You actually have an advantage over Enoch. Yeah, you have a better covenant based on better promises. The Holy Spirit actually lives in you. And can I just tell you something? Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's an advantage over Enoch. You can walk with God. And when you check out of here, the only death you'll ever taste has already been defeated. It has no sting. Jesus took the stinger out of death. He, through death, defeated him who had power over death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And my friend, you can walk with God consistently and freely in the here and now. And when you fold up this earthly tent, you will walk right into the presence of God forever. Second observation is found in the original Hebrew word for walk. And it's the word halak. Now, I can't we usually bullet point definitions of Hebrew or Greek words, and we can't do it with this one because there'd be too many bullets. There's like 40 different definitions, all kinds of literal and figurative and metaphoric meanings for the word. So for the sake of our time together today, I want to just focus in on one of those bullet points. Halak means to grow. To grow. Therefore, Enoch's walk with God was a walk of growth. By nature, walking is progressive. It's step-by-step progress forward. And we know that that is exactly the way Enoch's walk was. In other words, when he reached 200 years old, he wasn't where he was when he was 100 years old. He'd grown. When he reached 300 years, he had matured spiritually even more. So Enoch walked with God, he learned, he grew, he applied, he absorbed. Think about it. Before he begins walking with God, his only resource of knowledge concerning spiritual matters is the stories of Adam and Eve. That's all he's got. So what's been passed down to him, what he's heard, is that, okay, for instance, I can walk with God. Human beings can walk with God. That's a possibility. He would also know things like how to give to God. He would know about offerings. He would know about Abel and Cain. He would know, you know, that Abel gave sacrificially while Cain gave superficially. He would know those things. He knows that a redeemer will one day come. That a seed of a woman, a virgin birth, he's aware of that. That there will come one whose heel will be bruised, but with that bruised heel, he'll crush the serpent's head. A savior will come that'll get humanity back into the garden, back into relationship with God. He knows those kind of things. So let's call that body of knowledge point A. That's his point A body of knowledge. But as he walks and as he talks with God, as he has intimacy with the infinite, he learns, he grows, he hears more and hears more. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he grows in his faith more and more. So if what he knew from Adam and Eve, that body of knowledge is point A, point Z is what we read in Jude. I don't know if you saw it, but look at it again. In verse 14, it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." So point A, he hears the stories from Adam and Eve, passed down orally through seven generations. A virgin will conceive, a serpent crusher will come. But point Z is not only will a redeemer come into the world, but he'll come again at the consummation of all things. Enoch prophesies of the second coming of Christ, and he's the first one to ever do so. He prophesies about the second coming of Christ before the first coming ever happens. How many of you would agree with me? That's growth. That's progress. That's being transformed. Formed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what happens to you and I when we walk with God. See, you may understand a certain truth at a certain level. You may understand a truth at an elementary level, at a 101 level. But step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, as you go from strength to strength and glory to glory, as you put one foot in front of the other in your walk with the Lord, you go from a 101 level to a graduate level depth of grasping the Word of God, who God really is, and who you really are in Him. You experience more, you enjoy more, you receive more, you give more, you love more. You get it more. The Apostle Peter said that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So your walk with God is a walk of growth. My favorite verse in the Amplified Bible, one that I love to quote, that I'm quoting a lot these days, and one that I stand on all the time, is Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Let's read it aloud together. It's projected. Ready? Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. I got to tell you, it's a mouthful. There's so much in there. I've been chewing on this for years. But let me just point out one thing with you today. It says, He will cause your thoughts to become. Say that with me. And personalize it. Say, my thoughts. Ready? He will cause my thoughts to become. We believe, we belong, and we become. How many of you also know you are becoming who you already are? You are. You're becoming who you already are. Our God-given identity and destiny are manifesting more and more and more. Our outward man may be perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. On the outside, you're definitely getting older. And don't point at anybody. But on the outside, you're getting older. But on the inside, you're getting younger. Your youth is being renewed like the eagle. Christ is being formed in you. You're becoming progressively more intimately acquainted with Him. And even your thoughts are lining up more and more with His thoughts. I don't know if you get, man, that is super cool. Your thoughts are lining up with the thoughts of God more and more and more. You're growing in thinking God thoughts. And that is radically more important than most of us think it is. How many of you know what you think about God is the most important thing about you? As He thinketh in His heart, so is He. Again, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your thoughts, change your life. He will cause your thoughts to become. I mean, think about it. This has been happening to you for some of us for a long time, and you know it. You can see it. There's evidence of it. I mean, how great is it? How rewarding is it to be able to look back, let's just say 5 years ago, and be able to look at your own personal growth over just 5 years, who you were just 5 years ago? There are some of us in here today that who we were 5 years ago scares us, right? Some of you don't want to say amen. That's all right. I get it. But to be able to look back over 5 years and say, man, look how I've grown. Man, I got a long way to go, but by the grace of God, look at how far I've come. Thank you, Jesus. To be able to say, yeah, you know what? Now I actually do have more God thoughts. I'm more patient, except when I'm not. Right? I understand Scripture and therefore God better. I'm stronger. I handle life storms a little better. I respond better than the way I used to. I'm not as defensive. I'm not as easily moved. I'm not as insecure. I'm more secure. I know who I am a little bit better. Yeah. I got a long way to go, but thank you, Lord. So far we've discovered that Enoch completed something that was incomplete in Adam, and Enoch's walk with God was a walk of growth. But how? How did that happen? How does that work? How did he grow? Again, we have no idea of the content of the conversations between Enoch and God as they walked together. But here's what we do know when it comes to their walk. Think about it. You can walk in front of somebody, or you can walk behind somebody. But if you're walking with someone, there's a togetherness about it. When you're walking with someone, there's a shared cadence in the walk. When you're walking with someone, there's a rhythm as you walk together that keeps you walking with. The Bible calls this agreement. Agreement. And it's extremely powerful. For instance, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, he said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them of my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. It said of the early church, the church in the book of Acts, that they were unified. They were in one accord. They had all things together. They were gathered together. They were in harmony with each other. And God poured out great grace and great power upon them all. In Psalm 133, it says, oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon. It's like the oil poured on Aaron that came down on his beard and on his garment. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's something powerful about agreement. But watch this in Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Obviously, it's a rhetorical question. Two can't walk together unless they are agreed. To walk together, there must be agreement. So God and Enoch could not have walked together unless they were in agreement. And it's really simple to deduce who had to agree with who. My friends, this is the most important application we can glean from Enoch in order for us to have a supernatural, life-transforming, transcendent walk with God. Ready? Enoch agreed with God. Say it with me. Enoch agreed with God. Say it again one more time. Enoch agreed with God. Now, this may not have been as simple as it seems to be. Enoch lived in a pressure cooker, a world that's a lot like ours. Enoch lived in a time of accelerated cultural advancement. Things were moving forward fast. According to the previous chapter in Genesis, ready? The first city has been built without the use of machinery. The first musicians are fashioning handmade harps and flutes, and they're composing. Men are being trained as artisan craftsmen in bronze and iron. And all of this is happening just a few generations after Adam and Eve. Who knew? Enoch lived in a time of accelerated cultural advancement, but he also lived in an age of social permissiveness. Follow closely here. During Enoch's time, there were two lines of ancestry running concurrently. The line of Seth, noted for their godliness, and the line of Cain, noted for their godlessness. Cain's lineage. Cain's lineage was a lot like Cain. No attempt to ward off temptation, hatred, rivalry, no attempt at communication with God, bullying, even murder with no remorse, just like Cain. In the chapter immediately following the mention of Enoch, here was God's assessment of the society, of the world they lived in. Ready? In Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. In spite of all this, in spite of social promiscuity run amok, in spite of a society that wants nothing more than to silence the voice of God, Enoch's own family, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, you know, at worst, they're snubbing away even the existence of God. And at best, they just put on a veneer like they believe. And in spite of all of this outside pressure to cave, in spite of all of the godlessness around him at every turn, every intent of the heart was only evil continually. In spite of all that, Enoch walked with God. And as he did, he agreed with God. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? So maybe it looks something like this. Methuselah's born. Enoch figures now it's time. And I don't know if he hits his knees. I don't know if he hits his face. And he prays, Lord God, Adonai, Elohim. I know it's possible. And I want to walk with you. I'd venture to say to a prayer like that, there is an immediate response. And God comes and says, so be it. Let's go for a walk. And the two of them walk together. And as they have a conversation, maybe God turns to Enoch and says, Hanuk, what do you think of the world around you? What do you think of what's going on? What do you think of all the trends and fads? What do you think of the culture around you? What do you think? And Hanuk says, what do you think, Lord? Hanuk, I say it's out of bounds. I say it's wrong. I say it's transgression, iniquity, evil. What do you say? Oh, I agree. I agree. I agree with you. I mean, I see my own cousins, Joey and Bobby. I don't agree with them. I agree with you. Good. Hanuk, things are going to get worse before they get better, as they often do. But there will come a day when your grandson, you'll have a grandson, his name will be Noah. He'll be a lot like you. I'm going to make him like you. And in the midst of everyone's hearts being bent on evil continually, he will hear from me. He'll hear me well. He'll hear my detailed, specific instruction. And I'm going to tell him to build an ark, a large boat, an ark. And he's going to make it of wood covered with tar. And then it's going to rain. I'm going to cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. I'm going to have the earth start all over again. I'll put 8 people in the ark. 8, the number of new beginnings. This planet needs a new beginning. Humanity needs a new beginning. What do you think of that? Amen. I agree. I agree with that. Good. Years will pass after your grandson, but from your ancestry, years, decades, centuries, millennium later, another will come. You've heard a little bit about him because he'll have a bruised heel. But with the bruised heel, he'll crush the serpent. He'll be the seed of a woman. He'll be a savior. He'll come and he'll live a sinless life, but he'll die a sinner's death. They'll put him, he'll be a little bit like the ark. He'll be the true and greater ark because they'll put him on wood and he will become sin, though he knew no sin. And he'll save his people. I'll call him Yeshua, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And there'll be another new beginning, and everyone will be able to walk with me. What do you think about that, Hanuk? I like that. That's great. That's good. I agree. Good. Hanuk. More years and decades and centuries and millennium will pass. And though the serpent crusher came first as the Lamb of God, he'll come again. But this time not as the Lamb. This time he'll come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he'll come with 10,000s of his saints with him. And he'll proclaim judgment on all the ungodliness that has gone on. Hanuk, what do you think of that? Oh, wow. Awesome. I agree. Good. Well, then if you agree, will you agree to this? Will you agree to preach that? Will you preach that message to your generation? Will you preach that good news? Will you preach that gospel to everyone, everywhere in your generation? Yes, sir. I agree. The Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints to judge the ungodliness that is in the world. The Lord is coming with 10,000. Good job. Attaboy. Hanuk. Come. Let's walk some more. But today, let's walk all the way home. Oh, I agree. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him. My family, if you want to walk with God, if you want to have a supernatural, transcendent walk with the Lord, agree with God. I'm going to try this side of the room because I think they're more spiritual. I said, if you want to walk with God, agree with Him. And so when you're feeling afraid, you're feeling fearful about something, some kind of situation or circumstance has arisen that has you having anxiety and panicking about something, you don't see a way out, and you start to get fearful, and fear starts to grip your heart, and you know the feeling. In that moment, can I tell you something? Agree with God. Yeah, don't agree with your circumstances. Don't agree with your situation. Agree with God. And you know what God has said? God has said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Agree with God. When people treat you unfairly and people snub you and people look down there and they try to make you feel like less than, listen, don't agree with them. Agree with God. Because God says you're accepted in the beloved. How many of you know you're accepted in the eyes, the only eyes that really matter? So you agree with God. You're loved by God with an inseparable love. You're loved by God with an everlasting love. And so if you ever feel down and out and just discouraged, listen, don't agree with your own feelings. Agree with God who has made you the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. Amen. Agree with God. And when you get those lab results back and you get that report back and it's not a good one and it's got some things on there that are very concerning, can I tell you in that moment, agree with God. Because God says, I am the Lord thy God, thy physician. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. By his stripes you were healed. Agree with God. And when there's more month at the end of your money, can I just tell you something? Agree with God who said, I will see to it. I am your Jehovah Jireh. I will provide. Agree with God. And when there's a mountain in front of you, you keep on walking with God. And when there's a fire you got to go through, you keep on walking with God, no matter what the obstacle, no matter the brick wall, no matter the hurdles you've got to jump over, you keep on walking with God. You can walk with God. And as you agree with Him and agree with Him and agree with Him, you will go from strength to strength and glory to glory. You'll know who He is more and better. You'll become intimately, more progressively acquainted with the person and the character and the nature and the ability and the willingness of God. You'll know Him better. You'll grow in your faith. And guess what? You'll walk with Him and grow and walk with Him and grow until one day you just walk all the way home.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.